speaking today with Chris Oliver, who is a trustee for Houston Community College System in District 9. Chris, I wanted to ask you, tell me a little bit about how long you have served with the HCC board and what you have done with them in your time.
Well, I've been on the board since 1995, about 16 years. And since that time, we've seen tremendous growth throughout the system. And we've seen just enthusiastic growth and a partnership from the community during that time. We went from like 37,000 students to now almost 80,000 students in that time period. And then since that time, we've accomplished a lot in terms of making people aware of the Houston Community College. We were once known as the best kept secret in Texas. I don't think that's the case now. And so we've done quite a few things, and we're proud of them.
Okay. Talk a bit about what you see as the role of HCC in education. Everybody knows about, you know, getting people to graduate high school. There's a lot of talk about getting people into college. What role does a community college like HCC play in the education system?
Well, great question. It plays a tremendous role, but it plays a tremendous role on a number of different facets from a number of different angles. Let me explain. Right now, the number one issue is economics and jobs. And there are people losing jobs, unfortunately, that may or may not be coming back. So I think it is more than crucial now, more than vital now, to remediate or retrain people and give them different skill sets in order to earn a living. Unfortunately, a lot of them are not near the retirement age. So if you're in your mid-50s and you're out of a job, you need skill sets to earn a living. That's where we come in. I'm proud to say that I was responsible for building the first campus in the history of Sunnyside area, post-secondary facility, the 2EA campus. We called it Little League Gay. We named it after my seventh grade teacher. And we have people there who we do just what I said we do. Also, we have students who actually want to go to school, who express desire to go to college, but their parents don't want to take out second and third mortgages. So we provide an affordable education for the first 2 years, because you can get all your academics at HCC, and particularly the 2EA campus, and then you can transfer over to a four-year institution. And needless to say, we still train the EMTs here in the city. We still train the chefs here in the city. If you go to any of the restaurants, Papa Do's, Papa Seagull's, Landry's, if you can sit down and have a meal, we train the chefs. We still train fire and police academy. We still do all these things. I'm proudest most of all is that if we have, for instance, a radiologist making maybe $19,000, $21,000 a year, she can come to ACC, get a certification, get what she needs, and then now she's making like $31,000. $35,000. That can qualify you to put down a down payment on the house. And that's the American dream.
Okay. I mean, do you see the role as being more getting people to their associate's degrees or more vocational training? Or is it really a mixture of both?
It's a mixture of both. And it's economy. It is a mixture of both. It's getting associate degrees. It is getting vocational training. And more importantly, it's fine-tuning to the needs of the workforce itself. People come in and say, well, look, we need more people interested in biomedicine. Can you train? And we said, yeah, we can do that. We can offer that right here. And let me also add, this is a shameless plug, but we have the best teachers around. I feel, anyway, the best faculty around. When people come from Houston Community College, they're well trained, and the proof's in the pudding. The proof of the pudding's in the eating room. I was at a Starbucks, and the person saw me with my ACC shirt on and said, "Hey, you're over at ACC again. I took some classes over there. I got to tell you, I had the best time of my life." those teachers were very, very nice. They made it so easy for me to understand. And I really do appreciate my association with ACC. Now, you keep hearing that, that'll make you well over tears. Because it makes you say, wait a minute, we're doing something.
Now, the four-year colleges have been talking a lot, partly about being able to get students in the door, but also about their graduation rates. I guess it's a little different story for a community college where not everyone is there for a degree.
Right.
But of those who come in for an associate's degree, what is the graduation rate, and is it acceptable?
It's acceptable. The graduation rate is high. It is acceptable. We always want it to be higher.
Do you have a figure off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, but we usually, when we have our graduation ceremonies, we try to track down a number of students that matriculate into our four-year institutions. So I don't want to just grab a number out of the air and say, that's the number, but it's comfortably high. Again, it could always be higher. Keep in mind, too, in terms of graduation, in terms of enrollment period, when the economy is bad, people generally migrate to colleges anyway, two-year institutions, four-year institutions, and the like. So if you have more students, likelihood that you have more students graduating increases as well.
Okay. Now, of course, this past year, the legislature cut a lot of money out of the budget. Tell me how this has affected HCC.
It's affected us tremendously. We've received 48% of our funding from the state, and when the state says we're not going to give you much money from this year and next year, it affects you. I was talking to the chairman of the board, and I sit on the finance committee at the Houston Community College Board of Trustees. And we were talking about losses totaling like $32 million a year, excuse me, for the next 2 years. And so that's affected us to the point to where we've had to effectuate a hiring chill. We don't call it freeze. We call it chill. And cutting back on some things that we don't normally do and tightening our belts. And with that, still, we were able to meet a $12 million shortfall. This particular year, and so but it took an effort of us having what we call an economic budget task force. We have people from, heck, even the janitor, the faculty, the students, the administrators, the chancellor, the board of trustees, looking at where we were in terms of our resources, and looking at where we were in terms of our expenses, see what we can come back on, and that got us to where we are right now. So we're okay. But it's affecting us like you wouldn't believe.
Now, have you had to cut staff like a lot of public schools have had to do?
No, we didn't really cut staff. People who were retiring and getting gone to different places anyway, we just didn't replace that person at the moment. So what we call the hiring chill.
And have you had to raise tuition like public universities have had to?
No, we pretty much kept it. Well, we've had to go up just a little bit. In fact, that's one of the things when we explain to the students, in fact, particularly the Student Government Association, we may have to go up just a little bit on tuition. Just a little bit, not much. Realizing that students, for the most part, are commuters. They drive back and forth to school. Gasoline is high. So we took that into account. But we also took into account that we need to do this, and they were very receptive to the idea. They understood what we were. And so that's where we are.
Now, of course, HCC also gets part of its budget from a levying property tax.
Yeah, but look, the property taxes, well, you got a lot of people, I mean, that hurt, because you got a lot of people who unfortunately losing homes, okay? And the value of the properties have decreased, so you're not getting much money from that. And then, we exempt seniors as well. So we tried a number of different avenues to meet the gaps that everybody's being affected with right now.
Has HCC contemplated, or would you support if it was found to be needed, an increase in the property tax rate that it levies?
Well, we actually are going to slightly raise the property taxes. In the very near future, to 3/10 of a penny, which would translate to like $3 more for the average homeowner. So it's necessary that we have to do it, but and we don't want to do it, but we're faced with the same economic glitch that everybody else is. So we're trying to make it as painless as possible, but it is necessary. And I think most people get it when, in terms of, if they really feel that this was needful in terms of education, and it's not egregious. I think people can understand that. Would you be willing to pay $3 extra?
No, sure, but it's easy for me to say.
Okay, it was because you just said it.
All right, now. HCC, you mentioned HCC's enrollment has gone up. This has been the result of annexing school districts, has it not?
That's correct.
I believe A-Leaf was one. What territory has HCC expanded into?
Well, we've expanded into A-Leaf, as you stated. We were fortunate enough that particular community allowed us to annex them. We were not so fortunate in Spring Branch.
There was an election on that in 2010?
Yeah, there was an election during that period. We understand, you know. We understand that, you know, people, the communities may want to opt out of that, but at the same time, in order to bring the kind of quality education that we are now renowned for, it would require us to do so, to keep in-district fees at a minimum. And if you're out of the district, then, you know, you may be forced to pay some higher tuition rates. And that's unfortunate, and we don't want to do that. That's why we're looking at that.
Are there any future expansion targets for HCC? Are you going to take another crack at Spring Branch down the line?
Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to have a board retreat and look and see whether or not, given this environment, if it'd be wise to do so at this particular time. I think we're leaning toward taking a look at the voters there. But it's kind of difficult to say right now. We're just really right now in the strategy planning phase. I don't want to say anything that's premature because really it's just talk.
Okay. Let's talk about how the HCC board conducts business.
Sure.
Openness, transparency are big issues these days. Would you say that the HCC board conducts its business in a sufficiently open and transparent manner? And if the answer to that is no, what should be done about it?
I think we do for the most part. I mean, like any other institution, things happen, things take place that you're made aware of. And, you know, when we don't do things as open as we should, then I think we take the necessary steps to try to correct that, like any institution. Houston is a big town with a small town mentality. So usually when things like that happen, everybody hears about it, and everybody, you know, raises opinion, but you move forward. Because I think for the majority of the trustees and the majority of the employees, majority of the administrators, trying to do a good job.
Okay. Board meetings are not currently televised or broadcast online now, are they?
I don't know if they're televised. We come on okay. HCC TV. So,
are the archived meetings, you know, are the videos of the meetings archived online anywhere?
I don't know. I do know that we have two different meetings on a monthly basis. We have our committee of the whole meetings, which are not televised, but they are taped. That's what we're doing now. And I think they are archived. We have the regular board meeting that happened at 31 May, 100 May, 4 o'clock, which are televised. And I think they are archived and repeated on cable. We have them on Thursday. They're repeated that Sunday.
Okay.
So if you want to know what's being said and you want to know what's going on, it's right there for you.
Okay. One of the things that I learned this year is that campaign finance reports for HCC trustees are not available online. I had to actually make an open records request to get them. Would you support posting campaign records campaign finance reports for HCC trustees and candidates online in a similar manner that Houston City Council and the HISD board?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They have no problem with that.
All right. That's good to know. There have been some issues regarding ethical matters within the HCC board. One board member and one former board member. I'm talking about Yolanda Navarro Flores and Ms. Abel Davila. Oh, no, I'm sorry, was it Davila? All right. Were censured for activities involving conflict of interest, contracts involving family members. In fact, I believe Trustee Navarro Flores has now sued the remaining board members over the fact that she was censured. Let's start by saying, does the HCC board have strong enough ethics rules in place to deal with this situation?
We do. You know, we're going over undiscovered territory here. That normally doesn't happen at HCC, those types of activities. You know, let me put it this way, because I don't want to, be seen as being necessarily genoistic in terms of talking about a colleague, because she is my colleague. She was duly elected by the members of our community. We have a strong enough ethics policy in place currently at the community college. But it's like everything else. If you have individuals who choose not to follow that, then that's where we have the mishaps. And that's where we have the breakdown in communications. A lot of the things that took place, we didn't know what was going on for the most part. You know, it was brought to our attention. And then, as you know, we hired some investigators and they did whatever job they did, and it was found that this happened, that happened, and then we had to make a decision as a board. And as a result of that, it resulted in her censure. As you stated, she has recently sought to, get her side of the censure out by issuing a lawsuit against myself and the rest of my colleagues, and because that is still a legal matter, I can't go into detail with that, as you can well imagine.
I guess the question is, I mean, this was not the first time that this particular trustee has been found in violation of board policies. You know, is a censure strong enough?
Well, you know,
remedy for that?
Yeah, well, you know, we can't impeach. I mean, only a state district judge can impeach a trustee.
How does that process work?
Well, you know, that state district judge probably has to be brought enough evidence from a criminal nature that is so egregious that he thinks it's necessary to have this person removed. And you know, I think a lot of things that took place because, you know, and that person probably knew there's not much we could do.
All right. So I guess my question, I mean, it seems like an HISD board has had a similar issue where, you know, the problems that have been found have been things like no-bid contracts, and both HCC and HISD do a lot of construction work and other things that require hiring contractors, a lot of money available in that. There's no-bid contracts, and there's dealing with firms for whom, you know, a member of the firm is a relative, or in some cases, the board member themselves. You know, none of this is apparently illegal. I mean,
unethical.
Right. In the case of board member Flores, I know this was referred to the DA, but no charges are forthcoming.
Well, see, listen, Charles, let me just say this. You know, we come to board meetings, and we come to take care of the people's business. And all of a sudden, you know, you have an item that may come up in closed session, and then you're taken aback by it. It's like, what's going on? I mean, what? And then it's repeated behavior, as you stated. It's a pattern of this. So we're like, well, what can we do? I mean, we talking to the person involved, or the persons involved, saying, you know, you probably want to stop that. I don't know if you are doing it, but if you are doing it, stop. And then it gets to a point to where you're like, you know, we have to censor you. And then we go forward to taking away traveling privileges and all of the rights that naturally come to a trustee. And then we censor you twice. And then we censor you three times. So, I mean, what more can we do?
I guess the question would then be, does there need to be a legislative remedy, or is the ultimate remedy with the people that that vote?
I think the ultimate remedy, as it's always been, is with the people that vote. I mean, barring that person's resignation, I mean, you can impeach, but that's, in my opinion, that's probably a nuclear weapon you probably don't want to unleash, because if you do that, then maybe for the slightest mishaps, you start pushing the button. We do, and you have to realize this is an anomaly for us, man. We've never had anybody behave like that. We've just tried to do a good job, and people, and all eight of us are on the same page. Unfortunately, we have one person who refuses to even communicate with us, unless it's in this particular matter. And you know, you can tell from my voice, it's frustrating.
It's frustrating, I can tell, yeah. That the report that was issued, has it been made public? As I recall, there was a question about that when it first came out.
It's been public for so long that if a reporter from Jerusalem Post wanted to pick it up, they could.
Okay. Now, you were also mentioned in that report.
Sure.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I was mentioned in the report because I was saying that the investigation said that I had... that was a conflict of interest for me. I had voted for a Chevron contract. I voted for Chevron to receive a contract to replace or do the retro light fitting in all the buildings. And I'm guilty as charged for voting for Chevron. Unbeknownst to me, Chevron had hired a subcontractor that I do business with. Well, I didn't know Chevron had hired a subcontractor, and the subcontractor didn't know I didn't know that. So...
the report said that you had filled out the required disclosure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I had nothing to hide. I didn't, you know, so if it was the subcontractor, then everybody at the table would have caught that one. But when it's Chevron, so I apologize because here I am dragged in the middle of it. But I mean, at the end of the day, people come to get an education, people come to get certification, people come to get jobs, skills. They don't pay for that. So I shouldn't have. In hindsight, I don't think I should, because I think if anything, Chevron should apologize to me and say, you know, oops, I'm sorry, we hired these guys. Did you work for them? Yeah, I did work for them. That would have been nice to know. That way my lawyers can, because you look at every instance, the report does say that. Every instance, except for that one, I recuse myself from voting because I have disclosure on file. But when we vote for Chevron, and I don't know Chevron has hired Ford Beer Mechanical, which is the company in question, how can I know that? I mean, it's no way in the world, but I apologize because, again, I mean, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You know, you put it down to, like, okay, somebody probably should have told me that, but I'll take the hit because guess what? No one else voted, I voted for it. So,
okay.
And that's good along the line. I guess sort of along the line. On the issue of what you just mentioned, transparency. Look, Ma, no hands.
All right. One other HCC-related issue that I recall coming up before the legislature in recent years was a bill that didn't get anywhere to require HCC trustees to resign if they run for another office. Some trustees have run for office while they've been serving. Do you think is that a law that you would support or oppose?
I don't know. I can't really answer that one because I think it would depend upon the individual. If the individual who was running for an office really wanted that other office badly enough, I think you do whatever you have to do to make sure you got it. But that's an individual choice. I can't tell them, well, then quit and then go play for a boy. You can't do that. That's a decision that person has to consult with his family or not, whether or not you want to do it. And for the record, I think the last people who have run for the officers who currently hold ACC positions to resign anyway.
Okay.
But that was the individual decision. You have to do it that way.
Okay. So let's say, you know, looking forward, you know, what do you want to see accomplished by HCC and the board in the coming years?
I want us to continue to be one of the best community colleges in the nation, quite frankly, and we are. I want the business community to continue to be very comfortable with the symbiotic relationship that we have with it. I want the four-year institutions that surround HCC to be very comfortable with the symbiotic relationship we have, very real and genuine relationship we have. I want, and particularly for my particular district, for us to finish the five-year plan that we have put forward. By the way, have you seen the new sport complex behind the 288 campus on Willie Gale?
I have not.
Okay. It's beautiful. That's part of our five-year plan. We're going to build a sport complex ourselves on the campus in Anchorage we have. Right now I'm excited, Charles, because we're building our early college right next to the Willie Gale Hall, the campus on 288 Airport, which high school students can come and have the college experience. And we're doing it with the blessing and in conjunction with HISD trustee Larry Marshall. We're going to have tennis courts, football fields for Pop Warner leagues, baseball diamonds, science, technology labs. If I could somehow just get it out and tell you the pride of field. When that property was first there, man, it was nothing there but cows grazing on pastures. But look at it now. It's like the Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it, they will come. We built the campus, and all of a sudden, here come all these home builders and apartment complexes, which makes sense. If you have schools, builders come. And now look at the Houston Dynamo has a practice facility right directly behind us, and we, in conjunction with the City of Houston, have built them an access road to access people from the City of Houston, ACC students, and Dynamo fans, and Dynamo players. And then there'll be this huge complex there on the campus, and they'll develop it for people. And then Sunnyside is already lit up, and this is a beautiful thing to see. When we complete that last phase, that'll be it.
And also going forward, what opportunities do you see to strengthen HCC's relationship with HISD and the other school districts that part of its territory?
Good question. I mean, what we've done is we've had in the past, an HISD ACC luncheon summit in which the trustees from both sides sit across the table, meet in an auditorium, and discuss some of the issues that we face. Individually, Trustee Marshall and I, and even Trustee Rodriguez from HISD, sat down and had discussions concerning dual credit and things of that nature at the early college. So we've done it individually, but we've only had about one grand HISD ACC summit, which I would like us to do more of, because I think that's helpful. It's just a matter of both Dr. Spangler, the ACC Chancellor, and Dr. Greer, the HISD Superintendent, sitting down and trying to work it out. We were close to doing that this year, but for whatever reasons, I guess elections, we didn't get a chance to do it.
Okay. And talking about elections, when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to give you another term on the HCC Board of Trustees?
Because I think I'm doing a good job. I mean, I think there's still more work to do. We're in the middle of a phase that we need to complete. We're in the middle of a program that we need to complete. And quite frankly, I'm the most qualified person running this race. I'm the person with the most experience. And I would say I'm the person with the most passion. That's just, and I know that's maybe personal bias, but I am, because I've seen where we've been. I know where we're going. And I know how to get us there.
Chris Oliver, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Charles, it's a pleasure meeting you. Okay.